Hear me? There we go. I can hear me now. Well, good morning. Well, I've just got back this week from 2 weeks in California. It is good to be back in California, Maryland. Well, that's where I'm from. That's where Katie and I are from. And we've been bringing our boys back there for as long as they've been alive, really. This was Ben's first trip back, and this is the first trip back that Seth is likely to remember. It was great to see a three-year-old with all these new things that he's learning that he's been to before, right? But he was so excited to get to experience our family, and they all live in one place? This is crazy, you know? But he had a lot of fun, and our eldest, Jack, actually stayed out for about half a week longer, all by himself, asked to. And had a blast with the family and his grandmother, people that are his favorite people in the world. We love him dearly, and it was just awesome to see him taking that next step in independence growing up. So I'm a proud papa today, if you can't tell. I'm very proud of my son, and we had a great time out there. While we were gone, I don't know who it was, but somebody mowed our lawn. Whoever you are, whether you're here or not, thank you very much. It was a huge blessing to us. We drove up and we said, oh, I'm going to mow the lawn tomorrow, do all these things. And we pulled in late at night, and there's the lawn mowed. So if that was you, thank you very much. That type of care is just absolutely wonderful and appreciated. Well, we've been in a very interesting flow of messages here the past several weeks. Thank you very much. Where we've been speaking about honor, and we've been speaking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to continue in that stream today. Pastor Landy kicked things off several weeks back, talking about how we honor one another, those that the Lord has put in our pathway by appreciating one another, especially those who are really overseers for us. When we recognize them, we honor them, we're honoring the Lord. He talked about representational honor, which is an incredible concept, that when we honor the one the Lord has sent, we are honoring him as well. When you honor the emissary of the king, you're honoring the king and his kingdom. So it's important for us to honor those that the Lord has placed over us, whether it's our parents, our authorities, spiritual leaders, and the Holy Spirit. We honor God, we honor the Holy Spirit. I spoke about practical ways that we can honor the presence of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. And Pastor led an encounter service where we look to connect with the Holy Spirit. And last week, Jesse came up here and spoke. Hilton's on my mind, if you can't tell. And he's on a lot of our minds. He was actually supposed to preach last weekend. And Jesse came in and preached an amazing message in his stead. Hilton actually has a message that's prepared that's waiting to be preached. So we're praying that he's going to come and deliver that to us. But Jesse did a great job of connecting not just the honor aspect of it, but our need as Christians to relate to one another, to recognize that we are part of a household, we're part of a family. And he kept going into family. And I love that he took a perspective. He started off, Jesse, with saying, in America, we're very focused on the individual. Not wrong, but that's the context culturally that we start from. And we're told, you can be all you can be, you can do all this, you. And there's a lot of freedom and independence that comes from that, and that's very representative of our culture. But too much of one thing is not good, right? He talked about how in his culture, you start off and you recognize, I'm part of this family. You're never going to be able to change your name, right? Because you can't in your culture. I think that's a beautiful thing. It's awesome. You can't change your name. You're always from who you are from. And no matter what sort of differences come between you, you're always part of a family. Your brother's always going to be your brother, no matter how much he makes you upset. Your sister, likewise. And no matter how much you drive yourself away from your family, you're always theirs. So you can't get away. And in Christ, it's important for us to recognize that we are family. We're not just individual islands among ourselves. We're connected. And we need to recognize that. So there's a stream that the Lord has been working on in us, and he's been pinging on me the past couple weeks. I can't get away from one particular word that is often a synonym with honor, and that's respect. He keeps talking to me about respect. So we're going to talk about respect this morning, because I think it's the next step in what the Lord is doing here. We've talked about this sort of relation. We started talking about this sort of relation. But now we're talking about this sort of relation in here. Not just respecting those that are above us and honoring those that are above us, but really respecting all people. And then we have to tear down some subconscious traps that we find ourselves in, because it changes how we interact with one another. So we're going to go after that a little bit today. So why talk about this? Well, I think this is timely because you hear us keep talking about relationships with one another and the need for us to be together. And what God is building here, in particular in our Father's house, but globally as well, is a multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multicultural household that is the body of Christ. That's a big ordeal. And respect is a big issue. And right now we're coming into a season where we have an emerging generation, and you have generations that have been on scene for a while, and the atmosphere is shifting in this time. And it's important for us to, in the midst of all this, consider how we're going to move forward together in valuing everybody. So this is a macro level concept, but it's here in our micro level, our Father's house. This is the day-to-day things that interact with us here and also outside these walls when we're interacting in our community. I was part of I was tipped off to a really interesting conversation this week on Facebook. Because we all know Facebook is evil, right? Now, this was a really excellent conversation that was open, it was honest, and sometimes brutally honest, but it was an open, honest conversation that kicked off the notion that 59% of millennials that have been raised in church are leaving church, and it was reasons why. And it was written from the perspective of a very articulate millennial. And some of the stuff that you hear kind of cuts you right to the quick, because you hear the truth in it, and it hurts. So this kicked off a very interesting conversation, and in it, we discovered millennials and Gen Xers and baby boomers, people who are in relationship with one another, all talking about some very challenging concepts together about how we move forward together in the body of Christ. And what was the underlying theme in all of it, really, when you boil it down, was how are we honoring or dishonoring, respecting or disrespecting one another? And the cry throughout all of it is, we need to be respected. And that came from both ends of the spectrum there. And that's really what we're called to, is to respect one another. So what is respect? Oh, by the way, while I was preparing this, Mary Wallace posted a really interesting... There you are, Mary. She posted a really interesting post on Facebook. It's a wheel of healthy relationships, and it has all these things like honesty, open communication, not lording things over people, all blah, 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 blah. And it went through this whole wheel of stuff, and right in the center is respect. And it's just the perfect picture of what we're going to be talking about this morning. When we're able to have healthy relationships, when we're built on a foundation of respect, so we can build trust with one another, and that's really rooted in love. So, what is respect? Merriam-Webster has a couple interesting descriptions of respect that I think are pertinent to what we're talking about. I like this one: an act of giving particular attention. It's consideration. High or special regard, esteem, the quality of being esteemed. Because really what we're talking about is, are you considering someone else? This is not a concept that's unfamiliar to us. But our approach to respect is an important one. It's an important aspect of how we interact with one another. In general, would you agree that we all want to be respected? Yes. We all believe that we deserve respect, right? So we all must feel respected by everyone around us all the time, right? No, we don't. Why is that? There's an orphan approach to respect that I think we've got to kind of call out because it hits in our subconscious level and sometimes actually comes to the surface. It's a natural inclination that we have towards viewing respect, but it focuses on the self first. It also makes sense if you look at it from the perspective of, I'll do it for me if you do it, or I'll do it for you if you do it for me. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, right? But it's a motivation that operates at that subconscious level. Sometimes you hear it come to the surface like this. People need to earn my respect. I'll respect them when they respect me. Have you heard that? Have you said it? Have you felt it? I have. Right? And it seems pretty fair and balanced, right? If you're willing to do that for me, then I'm willing to do that for you. But until then, I'm going to keep my distance here. And I'll make my judgments in my mind about what's going on. What happens in this, though, is that we build relationships that are built on performance, right? You kind of have to pay your dues to get in the door, right? And to be in the level of trust, or that you're treated like a human being. And until that happens, you're kind of on the outside and you're out in the left in the cold. And once you have gained that in, there's that fear of what happens when I fail? What happens when I mess up and I lose people's respect? And all that our relationship is built on is my activity, not on a genuine love for one another. And that fear operates in the background, and we have a very performance-based relationship. That happens outside these walls, and that happens inside these walls. It happens in our families. It happens in our friendships. It's something that all of us have been on one side or the other with. So when we choose to withhold our respect from others from the standpoint of the beginning of a relationship, then we're considering them less valuable than us. We're giving ourselves the decision authority as far as who's valuable and who's not. Who warrants my love? Who warrants my care? Who warrants my attention? Who warrants my consideration? We get a very high opinion of ourselves in that. Like I said, this doesn't always operate at the conscious level. A lot of times these are things that are going on behind the scenes in us. We've got to call it to the surface. We've got to shoot this thing in the head, wherever it is. See, when we do that, when we enter relationships, when we carry ourselves in that way, we're really putting ourselves in the position of God. Right? We're saying who's valuable and who's not. When he said, I find all people valuable. Regardless of what they've done, they are value to me. And he calls us to see them the exact same way. Every person is valuable. Every person requires consideration and esteem because God breathed life into each one of them. He breathed his spirit into each one of them. And when we dishonor them, we dishonor God. Does that mean you need to agree with everybody? Does that even mean that you need to like everybody? No. But you can respect everybody. You can consider each person. So what does consideration look like? Now, before I get to that, how does the kingdom approach differ from the orphan approach? I'm reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It's the opposite. For through grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And then verse 9 and following. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And here's the kicker. Give preference to one another in honor. That doesn't say I see you as more valuable than me. It means that I am coming in low underneath, and I'm considering you before I consider myself. I'm not steamrolling you in any sort of way. He goes further on in verses 14 and beyond. He says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible. So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge. Where in any of this is putting yourself first as the decision authority about the value of somebody else? It's nowhere to be seen. It's the exact opposite. See, the gospel takes the way the world operates and it turns it on its head. Always. Always, always, always. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And here's the foundation for it all. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, respect is meant to reflect humility, a spirit of humility, that coming in low. You see, Jesus Christ is God. But he stripped himself of all of that so he could come in as the lowliest. Remember when he washed the disciples' feet? He was showing them you have to serve everyone. And when he submitted himself to the cross, which he never did anything wrong, folks. He never was worthy of that in any way. He didn't carry any sin with him except for all of our sin, which he carried to the cross. He's our rescuer. He's our redeemer. And we're called to imitate that spirit. That's the spirit that's inside us. So what were his words about this? Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard measured, it will be measured to you. I've been harsh sometimes in my mind about people. I've even been harsh with my words sometimes about people. And when you read that, when I measure people against my standard, then I'm going to be measured against that as well. Holy smokes. Because I've been ungracious sometimes. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye but do not notice the log? We're talking log. Have you seen some big logs? This is great. This speck, this splinter, right, that's in his eye. Hey, get something in your eye right here. Have you seen that, you moron, right? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What's that talking about? It's talking about we first have to check ourselves. check your pride at the door, right? Go through the pain of taking that thing out before you can go to your brother and understand even to a little bit what he might be going through, so that you can come in low and say, brother, let me help you. These are important concepts for us. We have to lay hold of this stuff, because otherwise we just walk through life just rolling right over people. And Jesus finishes things up there in verse 12. We call this the golden rule. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. It's basically summed up in that. How we treat others should be how we want to be treated. That's both when they do things that are good and when they do things that are bad. In all circumstances, you should be considering, what is the spirit of how I would want to be treated in this situation? Because it's not exact. There's not a perfect translation. Who's read the five love languages? So you know that we're not all loved the same way. We're not all receiving love the same way. One of the great concepts in that book is it helps you to understand that we can miss it with others, where we can be transmitting love and it's not being received at the other end. And we have to learn how to shift so that we can translate love along that same signal, right? That is love. It's saying, I'm not going to do the selfish way that I myself receive love to tell you. I'm going to go into your world and I'm going to transmit that there. That's consideration of the other person. And we don't always get it right, but when our heart is in the place of, I'm not going to go in here just steamrolling, I'm going to try to consider what is important to this other person and how can I speak to them in a way that they're going to hear me. Even if you miss it, your heart is there and you're putting it in the right place. You're saying, I'm trying to love you in this situation. If I messed up here, I would want someone to help me. If I did something great, I would want somebody to recognize that. How are they going to receive that? I want words. They might want a gift. I need recognition. They might just want a pat on the back that says, good job. Maybe a note. Maybe a something. It requires that we get to know the people that are around us. That's relationship. That's where love is formed. That's where bonds of strength are formed, is in relationship. Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then in verse 15, he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. This is written to Christians. This isn't written just to the world. It applies to us, but it's written to Christians. See, when Paul was writing letters, oftentimes he's communicating theology, but he's doing it in response to things that are taking place. We have one side of a conversation here when we're reading these epistles. So what was it that was going on in Galatia? I don't know exactly, but clearly they needed to hear that they need to love their neighbor as themselves. So there's probably something going on there where they were causing factions. They weren't showing love. They weren't considering one another. And we're in the same boat today. We're still people. We still have flaws. We still have things that we need to overcome. But we need Christ to come through, not us. We have to die to those sides of ourselves and allow him to come forward in life. When we fall prey to thinking that we're better than those that are around us, let's call it for what it is. It's pride. And our pride has to fall. We have to remember to treat others as we want to be treated. Take the care, the concern. People are challenging. It says iron sharpens iron, right? Sometimes some of us are just tough like iron. I know there's parts of me that just have to get knocked off, right? We grind on one another. But in that grinding, there's a honing that takes place. Have you ever sharpened a knife? And take that, got one of those long poles, and you need that iron to rub against the iron to knock off those edges so you can get that sharp edge again. We grind against each other. And the Holy Spirit in the middle of that, I think he's like the oil, right? It gets in there, and he allows that thing to take place, and you get these sharp edges that come out where we can clearly define what it is that we're supposed to be and who we are. And the things that needed to be left behind are just dross on the floor, right? God needs to sharpen us. This message isn't just from one generation to the other. It's not just to the younger generation saying, you guys need to be respectful of the older generations. It's not just to the older generation saying, you need to be respectful of the young generations. Because we both need to hear that. It's not just one culture to another, or one gender to another. It's for each of us towards all others. We have to respect everyone. We have to respect everyone because God's Spirit is in them. He breathed that life into them. So we need to respect one another. We need to be considerate of one another. We need to treat others with the kind of considerate heart that we want to be treated with. We've got to make that attempt to understand. We need to make that attempt to listen and to hear people. And we need to take that opportunity to demonstrate that we value the other person in the ways that we wish to be valued. And that requires us to come low. I was writing this, and I was thinking about this song. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. All of our kids learn that stuff downstairs, right? If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to learn to serve others, right? So I'm preaching this to you today, and it's out of... It's coming in the flow of where we've been. And last time I was up here with you, I was talking about the need for us to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. To honor one another, to honor the Holy Spirit. And part of the way we honor the Holy Spirit is that we honor one another. And in that very same message, I went and kicked myself in the back of the head. And I didn't know it until sometime later. But I'm here to apologize to you today. See, I've been talking about peace. I've been talking about the need for us to recognize the value that we have. And the Lord was leading me to use an analogy with a story that many of us understand and have some awareness of, I hold personally dear. And so I started along the road of sharing what the Lord had given me to share. I was talking about Lord of the Rings and about the hobbits and how you have these people who have intense value, but they never see it. And when they get outside of their context, what's unexpected in them is what wins the day. And the importance for us to recognize that the Lord has hidden things in us that need to come forward. Now, the Lord had a message in that. And along the way, I sidetracked. Some of you are here, and you may recall what I said. I made a joke to bring some levity into the situation. I'm not going to repeat the specific things in the joke because they're offensive. But I'll say what it is, essentially, that was communicated in that scenario. I made connections with St. Mary's County as being a lot like the Shire. But I connected the locals, the local community here, and called them hobbits. Now, I also drew people into a joke in that scenario. And what I did was I made members of our local community the butt of a joke. Now, that's not appropriate at all. It's especially not appropriate from the pulpit. I took an opportunity to make a joke because it was expedient. And I hurt people along the way. I was not honoring our local community. I was not honoring our members of the local community that are here with us, part of this body. And I caused a highlight of the separation between the us and the them. I drew many of you in to laugh about that, which means I led you into that exact same environment, and we allowed that to take place here. But I'm responsible for that because I'm the leader in this scenario, speaking from the pulpit. Now, some of you heard that and didn't think a thing of it, and you heard the word that the Lord was saying in there about the value that you have moving forward. But there are others also here who couldn't hear what the Lord had to say because I diminished the word of the Lord by bringing my soul into that situation. For all of this, I am sorry. I apologize. If I caused you hurt and I caused you harm and I caused you to feel separated from our local body, I apologize. And to all of you who I drew into that joke, I apologize for leading you astray in that moment. That's not my heart. It does not accurately reflect my heart for this community. But I allowed us to walk into a scenario that is indicative of what goes on in this community. We have people that have grown up here who have called this place their home. And we have people that have come here to work here and they're going to be leaving whenever they get deployed somewhere else. We have a very diverse community in that sense. But there's tension there between that. And we are called to unite that community, not divide it. And I caused division there. I'm sorry. I apologize to you. I've spoken with some people who brought this to my attention. I've spoken to them personally. I've received their forgiveness. And I'm thankful to them. I'm thankful to them for extending an olive branch to me. And I received that. And I'm thankful for that grace. I apologize to all of you here publicly. Now, you're not going to find that joke on our YouTube video. It's already been removed from it for the purpose of not causing future harm to those who may stumble upon it. Okay? But this scenario offers all of us collectively an opportunity to reevaluate how it is we see our community and all the members in our community and how we view our time here, however long it is, in light of that. Like I said, this was not accurately reflect my heart for this place. My wife and I came here a little over 12 years ago as engineers and a teacher, right? How many engineers and teachers do we have in this community? We have a lot, right? And we didn't know how long we're going to be here for. We just knew that the Lord gave us a job here. And so we pursued it. We've been married 7 months. We were riding hot, right? Like our hair on fire. And we came here, and we were received in this household by many people who poured into us. They helped us grow spiritually. They helped us grow, get our finances in order. They gave us love. They gave us community and family apart from home. Like I shared, all of our family's out on the West Coast. We have family here. And that changed things for us. We've grown up here. And a couple years ago, when we said yes to pastoring here, we knew that meant saying no to our home. and to make this place our home. And this is where we've been setting down our roots. We've been raising three boys here who were born here. And this is home for us. We're trying to learn the history of this place. We're trying to learn the people that are here. We're trying to find the beauty in all of this, things that we've already been experiencing, but recognizing now that this is a place that God has called us to in this season with all of you. We all have to see that. I preached a sermon here a little over a year ago, maybe longer than that. I don't know. My time frame's all messed up now. It's called Bloom Where You Are Planted. And in that, we were recognizing that God has placed us here in this season, and we're to bloom wherever it is that He places us. Yeah, He's given us a community here that has a rich history. Did you know that this is the birthplace of religious tolerance in our country? That's huge significance, folks. This is an ancient place as far as America is concerned. There are people that came here for religious freedom. Like, right here, right? We are a stone's throw away from the capital of this country. That's not just coincidence. He's given us a place where you have so many people coming in and out, and they're getting distributed all over the place. We have a beautiful landscape here. We have a unique community. There's so much opportunity here for us to be reaching people with the message of Christ, with the gospel. And we need to take ownership of that together. We're not going to be talking anymore in this household negatively about any aspect of this community, because God's put us here together for as long as we're here together. Whether you're here for the next 3 months, 3 years, 10 years, or indefinitely, we are here together as the local body of Christ in ministry to this community, all aspects of it. And we need to take that seriously, soberly, and intently moving forward. We're here to be a blessing and not a curse to this place. That is changing in me first. Okay? If there's parts of me that have to die so that the Lord can come forth and minister in this place, I am willing to die, okay? Because God's called us here so that He can be put on display. We have to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're going to take communion now. And when Christ died on the cross for us, He did some incredible things. And when we take communion, we have the opportunity to remember all of what He did for us. His body was broken for us. His blood was poured out for us. He stretched His arms wide to receive everyone who had come to Him. And if He's willing to do that for all of us, then we have to honor what He has done and how we talk to one another and how we treat one another and how we consider one another, because He found each of us valuable. He died for everyone, even those who put Him on the cross. So in light of His expression of humility, as we go to reflect that, let's remember what He did, and also in like manner, be humble before one another and honor God in one another. All right? Ushers, if you will, please come forward. They're going to release us row by row. And come on up. Take the elements back to your seats. This is an open communion. At our Father's house, all are welcome to the table of the Lord. All right?
To the King, I don't have much to bring. it's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory. Sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't think what's left to do. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory. Sing to you this song. Take me to the King. Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try. But still my soul refuses to die, and one touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. Gaze upon your glory. Sing to you this song. It's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people's pain. So Lord, speak right now. Let it fall like rain. We're desperate, we're chasing after you. I made my decision to run to you, the healer that I need. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone. To gaze upon your glory, sing to you this song. Lord, we're in the way. We keep making mistakes. The glory's not for us, it's all for you. Don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory. Sing to you this song. Take me to the King. Take me to King. Take me to the King. King.
Let's take together and eat in memory of what the Lord has done for us. Thank you, Father. Please pass your cups to the center aisle. Our wonderful usher team is going to come and pick them up for you. You know, I will not promise to you that I'll never make another offensive statement again. I speak publicly way too often to make that in good conscience. But I will promise you that I will hold myself accountable to you, and I will hold all people who come on this pulpit accountable to you as well. Okay? And it starts in me first. Thank you all for how you've received me. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for hearing me. And thank you for how we're going to move forward together in this community. Lord, I just thank you for these people. I thank you for your heart. I thank you for your spirit that is in among us, Lord. I thank you for where you're taking us. And we ask right now, Lord, that you would break us open into this community. In every aspect of this community, Lord. That you would apportion each of us a grace for our sphere, Lord. And you'd send us to new places. You'd send us to open hearts and you'd send us to broken hearts, Lord. I thank you. Amen. Before we go, I just remembered, I didn't write it down in my notes because I didn't have time. I received a word from one of our prophetic people about something that actually was in that Facebook discussion I was talking with you about. The Lord has a grace here this morning for people who feel like they haven't fit into the old molds, the way things that have been before. And there's been this concern of, I don't quite fit that. I don't quite look like that. I don't quite sound like that. Maybe there's no place for me. And the Lord is assuring you this morning that He's making a new sound. You were designed the way you were designed for a purpose, and it's for such a time as this. So if you felt like you've had to hold back, step forward, because there's grace for you right now for Him to take what He's planted in you and grow that into something new. Okay? If you'd like us to pray with you about that this morning, we'll have our prophetic team up here this morning to pray with you. All right? For all others, God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. And please snack and yak in the lobby and carry on like you do in your relationships. All right. God bless you.
The car wash is right here on the side of the building. So get in line.